Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tiravanachari. Jamuna Tiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari.
Jaya Radha Madhava.
Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tiravanachari. Jamuna Tiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari.
Gaura Premanande. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivichakacharya Asto Tarasta Shishimad is Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Kodi Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Sri Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prayamse Kao Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunita Nanda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopanas Shyamakun Radha Kungiri Govardhan Ki Jai Grantha Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai Gaur Premanande, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Sri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvisesha Sanyavadi Pasyatadesha Tarine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gyanatamarindasya Gnanjanan Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble, respectful obeisances unto him. So, we've gathered here today to talk about the peace formula, an international, intergalactical peace formula. So we hear so many people talking about peace. How do we have peace in the world? So why do we want peace? Because we want happiness. It says in Bhagavad Gita, there can be no happiness without first achieving peace. First we have to be peaceful, you see. If there's a war going on around you, how can you be happy? There's no peace. You have to worry about bullets or invading armies or whatever. So, what's the chance of being happy if you're not peaceful? So everyone is chasing this peace in one way or another. Well, we're all looking for some peace. Give me some peace and quiet, you see. We're being bombarded constantly by outside influences that are trying to steal away our peace. If you turn on the news, they're telling you how rotten things are. They overstate the weather as if it's going to be worse than it's really going to be. They overstate the political situation and make you think that it's going to be worse than it really is. They overstate the economical situation to make you feel that it's that you should be in distress, you see. Now, all of these things, if you get involved, can make you feel distressful. See, what is it that we can do to feel peace? What is our release from distress? Does anybody want to? By the way, this is a discussion. I like to hear from you as well. It's not just me talking at you. You see, I'll do that if you let me. But does anybody have a suggestion? How can we achieve peace? Surrendering to God. That's a step in the right direction. Anybody else?
Accepting things the way they are.
Accepting things the way they are. Exactly. That's a step in the right direction as well. Yes?
Engaging in Harinam.
That's true. All these are very, very intelligent suggestions. These are very good. Let's see what Krishna says. That should be our barometer. What does Guru and Krishna say? I think there's a Bhagavad Gita up here.
I hope. I think this is a Bhagavad Gita here.
Yes, it is. What does Krishna say? All of these are very good. You're on the right path, and you're almost there. So Krishna says in the fifth chapter, verse 29... Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagyatapasyam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Shuridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Richati. This is what Krishna's advice is. So what does this mean? Bhoktaram Jagyatapasyam. Krishna says, I want you to know that I am the ultimate recipient of all jagya, all sacrifices, and all tapasya, all austerity. When you're doing something to better yourself spiritually, whatever you do, some sacrifice or some austerity, ultimately that comes to me. Just know that. You see? Sarva loka maheshwaram. Sarva means all. Loka, planets. Maheshwaram. I am the maheshwar. I am the controller of all the planets and all of the living entities therein. That includes the demigods. Sometimes people say, well, I don't know if I believe in demigods. I've never taught that. Do you believe in angels? Well, yes. Okay, same. angels, demigod. You say tomato, I say tomato. You can call it whatever you like. Okay? So, that means of all the angels, of all the demigods, of all living entities, in all planets, Krishna says, I am the Maheshwar. I am the supreme controller. I want you to know that. So first he says, I want you to know that I am the recipient of all sacrifices and austerities. And I want you to know that I am the Lord and Master of all creatures. Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, he says. Shurid, this Shurid is a Sanskrit word that means friend. But it means more than just friend. We have different kinds of friends. We have, Thank you, Prabhu. We have different kinds of friends. There's the Bandhu friend. Bandhu is like an official friend, you see. He may not be your best friend, but officially he's your friend. Maybe like your uncle. You may not know your uncle very well, but you should accept him as your friend, you see. There's the Mitra friend. He's a casual friend, you see. A casual friend, someone that you know nicely. But maybe either one of these may not be somebody that you would call if you're broken down on the freeway at 2 o'clock in the morning. Who would you call then? You called the Shurid. Shurid means your best friend. You see? Your best friend. When I'm in distress, I'm broken down on the highway. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and it's raining. Now, if you're going to call somebody other than AAA, if you're going to call a friend, you're going to call your best friend. Otherwise, everyone's going to say, well, I've got a cold right now, or my car won't start. I broke a nail, or the mail was late, or whatever. Some excuse like that. So you're going to call your very best friend. And Krishna says, I am your very best friend. I'm the best friend. Shuridam Sarva Bhutanam. I'm the very best friend of all living entities. Then he closes by saying, Gyatvamam Shantam Richati. He says, knowing this will give you peace from all material anxieties. You just received the peace formula. That's all you have to do to feel peace, even if there's a blazing war going on around you. My dear Lord, you are the recipient of all sacrifices, all offerings ultimately go to you. So let me explain that. If I had more time, I'd read more, but unfortunately, you're going to have to hear me speak instead of Prabhupada's words, but I'm going to speak Prabhupada's words, okay? I'm not going to speak my own. I have no words, just Prabhupada's words. So what does this mean? I am the recipient of all sacrifices and austerities. It would be like if you owned a business, and I often think like, see, I travel all the time, and so I find myself checking in sometimes to hotels. Anybody ever check into a hotel or motel? You know? So that person that you meet at the desk, they will give you a room and they accept your money. Isn't it? It's like that. But they don't keep the money. The money doesn't stay with them. There is some Prabhu who owns that hotel or motel. So whereas you say, my dear sir, I will give you $50. And from you, I beg a room, please. And that person says, yes, you shall have it. You give the 50 or 60 or 100, whatever it is. I never stay in those expensive motels I'm staying. Well, typically, I don't pay. Usually, they give me a room. But if I had to pay, it would be a cheap one. You see what I mean? So that person says, yes, you have asked me so nicely, and you've made some offering. So on behalf of the owner, I will accept your offering, and here's your key. You can check into the room. And they take that money, and it goes into the till, and it winds up in the hands of the owner, the Prabhu who owns the hotel or motel. This is the situation with the demigods. You may approach Lord Shiva, Lord Ganesh, and you say, please, I want to make some offering and I want something in return. And they say, yes, yes, you can have. Make some offering. They accept it. On behalf of Lord Krishna, their boss, the owner, the Maheshwaram, the supreme controller of all planets and demigods therein, they accept it and they pass it on to Krishna. And on behalf of Krishna, they grant your wish. But that granting of the wish has to come from the supreme source of all. It comes from Krishna. You see? They have the power to give you Krishna's energy. Okay? So that explains the first part of this. Anybody have any questions or comments at this point? Criticisms? Nothing? Speak now? Forever hold your tongue? Yes, Prabhuji. Oh, we honor them with all respect. Srila Prabhupada was walking, I remember one time in Vrindavan, and he passed the deity of Durga. You know, Lady Mahamaya, she's sitting on the tiger, and he paid his obeisances, you see. Of course, we respect. We don't say, oh, well, I don't give you. No, we give all respect. You give all respect. What's the quickest way to please the demigods? Offerings to Krishna. Shiva is another name for Lord Shiva is Mahadev. What does Mahadev mean? Great devotee. Great, Maha is great, Deva devotee. Great devotee. Devotee of whom? Krishna. So, he's the great devotee. So, we worship him as the great devotee of Krishna. Anyone who's a great devotee, anyone who's a devotee is worthy of our worship, you see. So, we please the demigods by worshiping Lord Krishna. It's like if you want water to get in the leaf of a tree, the leaves are getting a little dry. What if you go out and you just take a hose and spray water on the leaves? Is that going to help? You've got to put the water on the root of the tree. If you water the root of the tree, then it goes up through the trunk, the branches, through the twigs, into all the leaves equally. All the leaves are happy if you water the root of the tree. Isn't it like that? Yeah? So when we water the root of the tree by offering everything to Krishna, Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, I'm the recipient. You can offer it to whoever you want to. You can offer it to Srila Prabhupada. It's going to wind up in Krishna's lap. He passes everything on to his guru. Whatever I receive, I offer to my guru. He offers to his guru and him to his guru, all the way back to Krishna. You see? So it's watering the tree. Watering the root of the tree by worshiping Lord Krishna. You see? And if we just understand that Krishna is the supreme controller, he's our very best friend, and the recipient of all offerings and sacrifices, we can be peaceful. Now I say, we can be peaceful. That's not like that somebody's going to hit you with a magic wand and you become peaceful. You could. But to do that, to achieve real peace, you have to start letting go of some of the things that you're holding on to that are making you unpeaceful, the things that are stealing away your peace, you see. Now, if you go to worship the demigod, Lord Shiva is so kind. He will give you what you ask for. You'll make some offering, and he doesn't ask very much. He's easily pleased. He's also easily displeased, but he's easily pleased. But if we make some offering to Krishna, that's where the offering is going to end up with Krishna anyway. What is Krishna going to ask from us? Krishna doesn't hide it. If we study Bhagavad Gita again and again, what does he ask us to do? What does Krishna want? Surrender. What a nasty word, isn't it? Surrender. That's what the Japanese did when we dropped atomic bombs on them. That's what Hitler had to do when we had him surrounded. We were about to kill. We'd blown up the whole country. You see? That's what General Lee had to do when General Grant's army defeated him. This surrender doesn't seem like a really good thing to do, does it? And yet Krishna says, I want you to surrender. You look at Kalachanji, the beautiful form of Krishna. Do you think it would be okay to surrender to him? There's a surrender through love that we overlook. We overlook that type of surrender. When two people get married, they surrender to one another. The husband surrenders to the wife, and the wife surrenders to the husband. We surrender to our children, to their best interests. When we go to church, we surrender to the church. We make some surrender, you see. In love, there is surrender. Without surrender, there's no love. Unless it's like, I love my car, but I don't surrender to it. That's not love. You can't love your car like you can love a personality. Surrender means, my dear sir, you are such a wonderful person. I love you so much. Now, what's the next thing that comes into my heart when I have that realization? What can I do for you? Is there something that I can do? I want to serve you in some way. I feel this love for you. I want to do something for you. You see? It's just spontaneous. I don't know, call me crazy, but I want to serve you. I feel this love for you, and I want to serve you in some way. You see? So that's why Krishna is asking. Krishna is cutting to the, what do they call it? Cutting to the chase. Is that right? Cut to the chase. Krishna's cutting to the chase. Ultimately, you're talking to me. I'm the supreme personality of Godhead. Best thing for you is to surrender to me. I'm the supreme controller. And Krishna might even say something like, and you got to admit, you've never seen anything cuter than me. Can you see Kalachanji saying that? When you go before Kalachanji, isn't it like Kalachanji saying, you've never seen anything like me, have you? You know? Now, if he said that, if I said that, you'd say, what an idiot this is. You see? But when Krishna says that, it's enlivening. Why? Because it's true. Krishna knows that he's Krishna. He knows he's the most beautiful. He doesn't have the slightest doubt. So it's like you can just see Kalachanji saying, you're looking at my navel, aren't you? My navel's cute and you know it. It is. Whatever. In the summertime, I love coming to Dallas in the summertime because Kalachanji's not wearing his shirt and you can see his beautiful belly. That's the belly that was bound by Mother Yashoda. That's also the belly from which the lotus flower stems and Lord Brahma is born from. You see? That belly is so cute, but yet it's so powerful. But I can't see that it's so powerful because he's so cute. He's so adorable. It's very easy to surrender to Krishna. Now people say, well, I don't know. I can't say Krishna's God. Well, why not? Well, God is Allah. Nobody else can be God but Allah. Well, then what kind of God is that? You're talking about a very limited God. Yeah, well, in other words, it's God in a box. You know, I've got a box, and I've got God inside of it. He can't be this or that or this or that. He's in this box. I've got him in a box. Well, if you got God in the box, then you must be God. If you got God in the box, he's nothing outside of this. And if you analyze that with your intellect, you realize that's foolish. God is unlimited. He's unlimited. Does anybody disagree? Anybody here think God has any limits? Some people say, well, you know, God only takes form when he comes to the material world. Other than that, he's unmanifest. So God in his original situation, his original appearance, is unmanifest. So in other words, he really has no permanent face or personality. Ah, that sounds like a limitation to me. I thought we agreed he's unlimited. He has unlimited personality and unlimited form. You will approach him according to which one of those forms appeals to you, and that will appeal to you depending on how much you want to love him. You see? If you want awe and reverence, if you want a God that when you see you fall down, grovel, then you might approach Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan. Awe and reverence. Great opulence. You see? I'm not saying that's bad. You may feel comfortable with that. You might say, oh, you know, Jivananda, I don't know if I actually want to go hold God's hand. You know, I don't know if I want to go embrace him, throw my arms around his neck. That's a little close for me. I really, really wish he would stay arm's length away. You know, I was kind of thinking that when I died and went to heaven or wherever, whatever your conception is, that he wouldn't actually, like, be right there in my face. I'm thinking I'm going to have a nice, big, comfortable house, maybe down the street. Kind of like in Washington, you know, you got the White House and the president's in there. He's not there when you wake up in the morning if you've got a house down the street. He's not in your face. You might get to see him once in a while. You don't have to put up with him every day. You see? I'm not criticizing. If that's your desire, then you can seek out a personality of Krishna, of God, to where you can have that relationship. Yes?
Yes, Prabhupada. Just to please clarify the Prabhupada was being conversant about the unlimited Lord. So if Lord is unlimited, and he can be also limited if I want, because that's the way I want to approach him. So he, not allowing him to be limited based on the devotee's desire, he also...
But it's not that he's limited.
No, he's not. But if I want him to be limited, he can.
Well, you can. It's like looking at a diamond. A diamond has hundreds of facets, or maybe thousands of facets, and you want to pick out one of them.
Right. So what I'm saying to you is that is all the three that are right. I mean, you know, if that is satisfied their quest, you know, that they can start from there and progress from that onward.
Yeah.
No,
I'm not saying they're wrong. All I'm saying is that there is a personality of Godhead to where his only reason for being is to share love. That's Krishna. Now, we call Krishna the supreme personality of Godhead. Some people say, well, you're saying your God can beat up my God? You know, if they arm wrestled, you're saying your God can beat my God? We're saying it's the same God. He's the supreme personality because love is the supreme force. We're all driven by love. Everybody wants love. When you want love of Godhead, then we approach Krishna. And I mean the kind of love that's up close and personal. Hugging. Kissing him on the cheek. He'll kiss you, you see, drawing him close to you, walking, praising him, and then he'll praise you. Actually, Krishna does not want to be seen as God. Krishna has no use for this God. He knows he's God. You don't have to prove it to him. The living entities that go back to Goloka Vrindavan, they don't see Krishna as God. He doesn't, as my dear beloved godbrother Jaidwaita Swami says, he doesn't get any respect. All they know is he's just wonderful Krishna. They just love him. As we're reading now in Bhagavatam class in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, we can see that the inhabitants of Vrindavan didn't think of Krishna. When Krishna would do something so marvelous, they would wonder, who is this Krishna? Could he be a demigod or something? He's just my lovable Krishna. He's just wonderful. I'm so attached to him that I can't stand one moment of being away from him. See, they want, when they in that kind of liberation, they want Krishna all the time. They don't want to ever say goodnight. They don't want to have a life separate from Krishna. They don't want to leave Krishna down the street in the White House. They want to be with him every second of every, I was going to say every day, but there's not a reason, for always, forever, with no break in it. And when there's some time where they can't see Krishna, even when they blink their eyes, the gopis curse their eyelids. Because when I blink my eyes for that split second, I couldn't see you, my Lord. Why have you given me this situation to where I blink my eyes? I have to blink my eyes. Yeah. You see? Now, that might not appeal to everybody. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying, well, we're better than you. I'm just saying that there is this relationship with the Supreme Godhead that you can approach in a loving manner. You perform loving devotional service. Not service, I'm not talking about service that, gee whiz, I'd better do this if I know what's right for, you know. If I don't do this, he may send me to a hellish planet. You see? I'm not talking about the kind of service where you think, well, you know, this is the best thing for me. I'll wind up really good, really well off. So you don't think, well, if I don't worship this Krishna, I'll get bad. And if I do worship this Krishna, I'll get good. You don't do either of them. You worship Krishna because he's just so wonderful. I love you, Krishna. I don't care what I get. I don't care. I don't really want anything from you. I want you. When you can ask for whatever you want, ask for Krishna. If Krishna comes and says, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want. The most intelligent thing you can say is, my Lord, I want you. When you have him, you have everything, and you won't want for anything. You'll never want anything else, you see. So that's Krishna. If you want to keep God arm's length, half a block away, 2 miles away, whatever, that's okay. There is a personality of Godhead that you can worship that's not so up close and in your face as Krishna. But if you approach this Krishna with love and devotion, he will be by your side. So get ready for it. I think I'm supposed to stop at 7:30. Yeah? So have I got time for like a question or two?
Sure.
Huh? Okay. Any questions or comments?
One comment.
Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
Every single spiritual text I read, whether it was a Bible, Quran, or Hinduism, the first dharma is love, compassion, and truth. So all Krishna wanted us to do, when somebody made a comment that in order for the pursuit of happiness, we start accepting the other people as it is. How can you do that? Intellectually you can say that. But in the practical life we do that only when we start loving everyone.
Right.
So that is the Krishna is mentioning. The dharma is love.
And how do we start? How do we start loving everyone?
Once we start loving Krishna, we love everyone.
Exactly. If we love, if we turn our love to Krishna, we're watering the root of the tree. Our love will go to all living entities, not just the human beings, all living entities.
And that is the only pursuit for happiness.
That's it.
That love, compassion, truth, the word Krishna taught us.
That's the peace formula.
And then we try to mention that surrender and most people like you, you clarify really nice today, that surrendering with the love. But when there is a love, you don't even think about surrendering.
Yeah.
You just get abode in the love and it exists.
Not out of fear. If you approach Krishna with fear, he will say, that's very good, but take it someplace else.
Right.
You can have your fear if you want it, but don't bring it here. Right. I'm all about love. And you can't love me if you're afraid of me.
Right.
Not the way I want to be loved. Krishna wants all of you. He wants all of your love. Anything else? Mm-hmm.
Having the same concept, and also from the same area where this concept was developed. So I heard from them, and I sort of liked what I heard, this religion of love. And of course, it centers on this entity called Krishna. And as I progressed in my life, I understood that that is the most important approach. To love someone, the ability to love, to give and get, to accept, it's not very easy. So it's a challenge. So all religions throw some challenge to their disciples that do this for me, let us see if we can do it. So this religion or this faith also has a challenge that will develop the love. And it's a challenge in some form. And the question is, there may be more faiths coming up in the next million years, where the war of Krishna may not be there. It may not develop in India or here or anywhere. But a similar concept, a challenge to mankind. Let us see how much you can love, how much you can trust, and develop from there. I mean, that is the ultimately most difficult thing to do. We all have reservations. We don't want to give away 100% or take 100%. So that ability to be that simple, as simple as this concept you are discussing, is the hardest thing in human civilization. And it may take another name.
Yeah, it's very it's very simple.
But the concept is the same.
Yeah.
This is the hardest thing in life.
It's hard because this is a spiritual activity. Loving God and loving all of His creation, all of His living entities, is a spiritual step. And we are spiritual entities, but we're convinced that we are these material bodies. I'm thinking I'm American, you're Indian. You see? I'm thinking this. And we even think that there are lines drawn in the sand. You know, if you cross over that line, you're going into Pakistan. If you stay on this side, you're in India. I don't think that you can actually see those lines if you're flying above. We make them up. These aren't Krishna's lines. He didn't draw these lines. We draw these lines. We learn that by directing our unconditional love to God.
That's the only way.
That's the step. That's the only first step. We have to turn our unconditional, not like, well, I'll love you, but I expect this from you. I'll love you, but you make sure that you take care of me. None of that. I just love you, my Lord, and having you is all I want. That's all I want. So I think we should probably wrap it up now. I think Srimati Tulsi Devi is waiting. So thank you all for coming. And I'll see you again next time I come through this way. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Radha Krishna Seva Pao Hey Abhilashi Radha kunje dio ba nayane he ribo sada jugal rup rasi Barmahatya Dikani Chan tani tani prana santi pradikshane pade pade Dikani chatani tani prana shanti pradikshane pade pade ani kani japa pane Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna
jaya Vrinda Devi jaya Kusuma Rani jaya Vrinda Devi jaya Tulsi Maharani jaya Vrinda Devi jaya Tulsi Maharani jaya Vrinda Devi तुलसी देवाय प्रियाय केशवाय कृष्णा भक्ति प्रदे देवी सत्यवताय नमो नमः वृंदाय तुलसी देवाय प्रियाय केशवाय कृष्णा भक्ति प्रदे देवी सत्यवताय नमो नमः वृंदाय तुलसी देवाय प्रियाय केशवाय कृष्णा भक्ति प्रदे देवी सत्यवताय नमो नमः श्री तुलसी महारानी वृंदा देवी की जय
उसको बोलो कि पिताजी आए, तुम बुला रहे हैं।